As I mentioned earlier in the service, I've been spending a lot of time in the book of Psalms and this past summer, and we'll do so and like to share some of the things that I have found and that are in there that are just so encouraging and uplifting and helpful. And we'll do that starting at the end of September in our Sunday Bible studies. But today, I want to talk about Psalm 88. Now, there's a lot of people that are talking about, well, there's the very famous Psalms. I think you could probably list off a few of them, obviously. 1 and 2, 23, 51, all the praise songs from 103 to 107. Why would I pick Psalm 88? Okay. It was inspired, I have to admit. And Psalm 88 is written by, and I pause a little bit to pronounce his name, okay? Because it would be so easy to misuse it and call him He-Man, especially in this day and age where I don't know if it's Marvel Studios or somebody, but there is a He-Man out there. Well, this is not him, okay? This is Haman. And Haman, interestingly enough, just as a bit of background before we read the psalm, he was the grandson of Samuel. And he was one of the musicians that was brought together under King David. And their role was to prophesy, to sing, to play harps, to play lyres and cymbals. He was an amazing musician, and he wrote a couple of the Psalms. His family actually is quite well known, and he was actually very well, blessed, especially in that time, because I don't want to read all their names, but you can go into 1 Chronicles, and you will find that there are 14 sons and 3 daughters. The sons' names are all there. Those were his kids. 14 of them, 14 sons and 3 daughters. And he was also considered what's called a seer. He did have visions once in a while, but he was there for prophesying. And as I said, he served David with music. He also and his family were present when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into Jerusalem. And that is recorded that with his name in it, along with another 120 priests sounding the trumpets as the Ark was brought in. That's all recorded in 2 Chronicles. And then it seems that he was a pretty smart guy because he was considered wise. And in 1 Kings, where it says that Solomon himself was wise, he was wiser than anyone else. And but then they name in the first Kings that he was wiser. Solomon was wiser than Ethan and Himam. So this guy was wise. He was a prophet. He was a musician, obviously inspired by God. And then he writes this psalm. And the beginning of the psalm starts off, O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. He's overwhelmed with troubles. He's now, and this is why I find Psalms so encouraging and helpful. There is a psalm for every emotion, every feeling, every circumstance that we ever get introduced into or that we encounter. And here he is. He's praying a very urgent prayer. He's crying out. You can believe he's on his knees. And he's doing this day and night, not just once. He is obviously troubled. He's confronted with something that's very difficult to handle. And it's an example for us that when we are confronted with something that's difficult and to handle, that we are to cry out. So in verse 3, he says, "My troubles are overwhelming me. I am overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death." He's almost saying, you know what? I feel like dying. And worse than that, I just don't seem to have any hope for now or anything going forward in the future. And then if you read verses 4 to 7, it emphasizes this terrible feeling he has, this overwhelming trouble that is confronting him. And he's crying out. Why was he crying out to God? What was the trouble that was confronting him? It's in verses 8 and then again in verse 18 of this same psalm. He says, "You've caused my companions to shun me. You've made me a horror to them." And then in verse 18 at the end, he says, and this is the last verse of the psalm. He says, "You've taken from me friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend." Wow. He is sharing a very, very deep emotion. He's sharing an emotion that probably all of us may have felt one time in our life, some more seriously than others. It's called the emotion of abandonment, where you feel you have been abandoned. Job probably and did feel very much the same way. Here is Haman sharing a very deep emotion. "You've taken away all my friends. You've taken away my family. You've taken away all the people that I associate with. I'm out here. I'm all by myself. I'm a ship without an anchor." When people are abandoned or feeling abandoned, they're seeking something or someone to hold on to, and they're floating like a ship with no direction, no anchor, and they just don't know where to turn. And Haman is saying the same thing. I'm just troubled. I'm overwhelmed. I'm feeling unloved. I'm feeling unappreciated. I've been told, "Well, that's it, buddy, you're on your own." And that's been told. I'm sure you've heard it. If it hadn't been talked to you as directly, I'm sure it's been heard by other people. One of the people that I've talked about before, I think, in a message, was a gentleman by the name of Mark. Mark is an addict. He's a criminal. He's a thief. He returned to Canada after having served his time in Mexico. And when he arrived in Canada, it was during COVID, so he ended up in a hotel in Toronto. All he had were the clothes on his back, and that was it. He was dumped into the country. He had to stay there in the hotel for 2 weeks because of the COVID crisis at the time, and after 3 or 4 days, he was able to get a phone, and so he was able to somehow, and I don't know how he did it, I guess through the hotel phone, he was able to call a friend who was able to somehow get him a phone. He texted me a few times saying, "I'm here. I don't know what to do. I got no money. I got no clothes. Nowhere to go." He called his father, who lives in Ontario. His father says, "I have nothing to do with you. I don't want to talk to you anymore. I don't want to see you. I don't want to hear from you. I'm not going to help you." So he called his brother. "I don't want to see you. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to know you." Mark was abandoned. He was totally abandoned. He texted me once. He said, I'm here leaning up against a Bell telephone, whatever it is, a switch next to a Tim Hortons. I finally got a backpack. I'm sleeping here tonight because I'm homeless. I got nothing. I've been abandoned. I texted him back and I said, go to a shelter. And to make the story short, he eventually did. Mark is still trying to recover. He's still trying to recover. Can you imagine what it must be like to be totally abandoned? And sometimes that abandonment comes as a shock. You don't expect it. It just sort of, it happens. Some kind of an event comes along and all of a sudden you're there. Like Heman, I'm crying out. I'm troubled. I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I've been abandoned. Maybe you have some past events in your own life, or even now, where you feel you have been abandoned or definitely unloved. You know, it brings on anxiety. It brings on trauma. We say to ourselves, well, everyone's turned away from me. I got no one to go to. I'm alone in my life. I am alone. I have to figure out how to survive on my own. And even gets some people to get to the point where they say, why bother? Why bother with life? But no, Haman, he didn't do that. What he did is he said at the very beginning of the psalm, he says, O Lord, and in this case, Lord is Yahweh. This is the Lord of the covenant. And he says, you're the God of my salvation. I know who you are. You are my God of salvation. He's actually, in this sentence, saying, I'm praising you, God, because everything else in my life is gone. But I can come to you, O Lord. You are my God. He was despondent and abandoned, and he even wrote this down as a psalm for us to read about how he trusts in God and his goodness and his mercy and his grace, that if there's going to be any relief for him at all, it's going to come from God. You see, God was his anchor, his refuge. He knew that God would not abandon him. And so Heman wrote this psalm to show and express his deep feelings and to share them and to share those emotions to the one who would actually listen, the Lord. And in this case, Jesus Christ, of course, was listening. He was the Lord. And he knew he would not be rejected. He said, you know, in verse 3, I cry, verse 13, excuse me, but I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. I'm praying to you. I'm just releasing everything that I'm feeling at this time. That's who he's crying about. He's crying out to God because he feels abandoned and unloved and alone in life. I'll ask you a question. If you don't feel that way, do you know somebody that does? Can you be crying out for somebody else in your prayers? Somebody else who you know is going through a difficult time and is maybe feeling unloved, alone, and abandoned. We are to cry out for them just as Haman cried out to God, sharing his feeling. You see, to what length has God gone to ensure that we would never be alone, never be abandoned, never unloved? What length did he go to allow that to happen? No matter how much we sin, no matter who we are, what we are, where we live, what we've done, Did God do anything to ensure that we would never be alone? He did. He gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to us. You see, Jesus Christ is in all of the Psalms. Every one of the Psalms that we read will point to Christ if you understand and see what is being said. And in this particular Psalm 88, Jesus would be feeling exactly the same thing, if not more, that Haman was feeling when he was on the cross, abandoned by his friends and everyone else around him. When you read Psalm 88, you can start reading that this is how Christ felt on the cross. In fact, he was shunned by his companions, he was shunned by his disciples, and he knew what was going to happen in John 16, verse 32. He said, "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each of you to your own home. You'll leave me all alone. You will leave me all alone. I will feel abandoned. Yet I'm not alone. Why? Because my Father is with me." And what Christ predicted happened. The disciples ran away. Peter denied him 3 times. And Jesus was in not just physical pain, but in that emotional pain of abandonment on the cross. See, the good news, though, for us is that he was resurrected. And out of love, he came to this earth to save the lost and to heal the brokenhearted, to ensure that we are not abandoned, but that we are loved as individuals, no matter who we are. We are loved now and for eternity. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, we are to fixing our eyes on Jesus, the perfecter and pioneer of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The joy. He knew he was going to do this so that we would be loved and feel that love and know that love and not feel abandoned. Scorning his shame, sat down. What did he do? He ended up being resurrected and sitting at the right-hand side of God the Father. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 6, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our sins or transgressions. It's by grace you've been saved. God has raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ. We are with Christ now, spiritually, and we will be with him physically in the future. We have not been abandoned. See, we're part of the family of God, never to be abandoned, never, ever to be abandoned, and always to be loved. If you read John 3:16, probably the most famous scripture, there's a, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, so that we would not perish, it says. But you can say we would not be abandoned. See, we are being taken care of by Jesus Christ today. In John 14:18, he says, I'll not leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. And in Psalm 9, he says, those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Once we have received Jesus Christ in our life, and actually before that, if you call out, he will not forsake you. He's with us all the time. We should never, ever have to feel, even though we do sometimes, the feelings and the emotions that are written in that Psalm 88. Christ did it for us. He did it for us. Psalm 94, for the Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake. He will never abandon his inheritance. Why? Because he loves us. How strong is that love? Well, it's strong enough that Christ died on the cross. And then again, Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who will separate us from that love? We won't be abandoned. He says, shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness, danger or sword? No. Because in any and every one of those situations, we can do exactly what Heman did. And that is, we can cry out. We can cry out to our Lord, the God of our salvation. We can cry out to Jesus Christ and said, and just share. Let the flood of emotion open the gates and let it go. We can go to Christ. We can go to God. We can go to Him and say, I acknowledge who you are. You are my Savior. See, our God of salvation, no matter what the circumstances, we can bring our emotions, we can bring our feelings, we can bring our burdens. Just as, once again, so amazing. John DeGrace picks a verse for call to worship today. I'd already done most of this. And he says, I'm picking Matthew 11:28-29. I'm going, yeah, there it is. Bring me our burdens to Christ. This is exactly what he wants us to do. You're not abandoned. He wants to know what's going on in our life. And for you to share it with him, because he can say, look, pour out your emotions. Cry out to me. You'll not be shunned. You're not going to be rejected. You will never be abandoned. Why? For God so loved the world. Great God, our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you that no matter what we encounter in our days, that you will never forsake us, but that we can share, we can cry out to you, we can reveal our innermost beings, our hearts can be just shown to you. You know what's in our hearts, but we can say it to you. We can cry out day and night. We know you answer. Thank you, Father, that you will never abandon us, that we are not alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.